Good morning, and welcome to Greater Good. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona studios. The Greater Good Science Center studies the psychology, sociology, and neuroscience of well-being, and teaches skills that foster a thriving, resilient, and compassionate society. And now, some articles from Greater Good. What is love? Scientists have answers, but they don't all agree. Researchers across disciplines have attempted to define, categorize, and measure the elusive experience of love. By Catherine Reynolds Lewis, May 22, 2025. For millennia, philosophers, prophets, and poets have debated and theorized about love, what it is, how to describe it, how to cultivate it. Scientists, not so much. Indeed, only in recent decades have researchers become comfortable studying love explicitly. Previously, psychologists called the subject of their research interpersonal attraction, or used the lens of attachment. While the term love may call to mind romance or a dyadic relationship within the family, scholars have widened the definition to encompass friendship, altruistic love, and even the boundless love for all humanity. At the Greater Good Science Center, we define love as a deep, unselfish commitment to another person's well-being, even to the point of putting another's interest before your own. But we hardly have the last word on the subject. Researchers in fields spanning psychology, sociology, neuroscience, religious studies, and philosophy disagree on how to break down love into different components and whether love constitutes an emotion, a state of being, a practice, or some combination. They study love through observation, surveys, brain imaging, and other techniques. While it's impossible to fully capture the breadth of disciplines whose work touches on love, here's a brief overview of how science has tackled the eternal question, what is love? A brief history of love research. In the early 20th century, modern psychology focused almost exclusively on the individual through the work of Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung and their exploration of personality, the id, ego, and superego, and how childhood experiences shape us into adulthood. Those looking for love research could discern it in the work of researchers studying childhood bonding and marriage. For example, Jean Piaget and John Bowlby articulated and tested their theories of cognitive development and attachment, respectively. And investigations into marriage focused on the impact on the family and marital happiness. For a long time, psychologists wouldn't talk about love, says Charles Hill, professor of psychology at Whittier College. They called it interpersonal attraction. In the 1970s, social psychologists Alan Burshid and Elaine Hatfield were among the first to define two kinds of love: passionate love and companionate love, the affection we feel for those with whom our lives are deeply entwined. Their work led to the development of a whole field that would explicitly study relationships and their impact on individuals' happiness, health, and well-being. They developed a passionate love scale comprising 30 questions about how the subject feels about their beloved, which has been validated in functional MRI studies showing activation in reward centers of the brain when thinking about or gazing at a photo of the person that you love. Around the same time, social psychologist Zick Rubin created a scale to separate feelings of liking and love for people who are important in our lives. He articulated love not as a feeling or emotion, but as an attitude. Love includes three components, according to his formulation: cognitive, which is beliefs about the beloved; feeling is our emotions about the person; and behavior is how we treat the person. As researchers spent more time studying love, psychologist Robert J. Sternberg articulated a triangular theory of love comprising intimacy, or feelings of closeness, connectedness, and bondedness in loving relationships; passion; and commitment. In new relationships, commitment is the decision that you love someone. In longer-term couples, it refers to the promise to maintain that love. The struggle to define love. Today, researchers continue to come at love from different perspectives and to broaden the definition to include love of strangers, place, civic institutions, and even the natural world. Hill of Whittier College worked with 30 collaborators around the world to conduct a study of intimate relationships across cultures, administered online in 20 languages across 72 countries. Through a comparative factor analysis, they identified 4 measures that people consistently cited across 8 relationship types. This love scale has measures of caring and attachment from Rubin, passion and intimacy from Sternberg, Hill says. Love is caring about another, feeling attached to that person, feeling passion towards the person, and being willing to share feelings with that person. Arthur Aaron, who studies romantic love, views love as a drive toward intimacy that leads to emotions when achieved or thwarted. We argue that love is a motivation, but not itself an emotion, Aaron says. He is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. I would define it as a strong desire to connect, to include the other in the self. That desire to connect can become addictive. A series of neuroscience studies documented how passionate love engages the dopamine-rich reward centers of our brains in similar ways to substances and food that we crave. Research into cognition and memory suggests that being in love focuses the mind's attention and memory around the loved one, while also creating a source of potential distraction. You have better attention for your beloved and information that has to do with your beloved, says Sandra Langenslag, a cognitive and biological psychologist at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Love distracts people from doing other things. Langenslag works with the model proposed by the late Helen Fisher, a biological anthropologist at Rutgers University, which divides love into three types: sexual desire, passionate love or infatuation, and companionate love or attachment. While animals do seem to experience both sexual desire and bonding, infatuation appears to be uniquely human. I'm most intrigued by that infatuation stage, she says. At the peak of Burscheid's career, she assessed the state of love research and concluded that evidence supported four types of love: companionate, friendship or philia, romantic love, attachment or bonding, and compassionate, altruistic, or agape love. Given this topic, we won't ever see complete agreement on scientists' definition of love, predicts Beverly Fair, a psychology professor at the University of Winnipeg. Fair defines love as involving feelings of caring, honesty, trust, respect, and intimacy, the characteristics that people most commonly bring up when describing any type of love. Her current research involves compassionate love in family, such as mother-daughter relationships and expressions of support when the daughter is under stress. With Susan Sprecher, she developed a scale to measure compassionate love that the greater good has turned into a quiz. More on that later. Is love a state or a trait? One of the key axes along which researchers differ is whether to define love as a passing experience between two people, a state that we move through, or as a fixed and enduring attitude or disposition, which would be a trait. In her book, Love 2.0, Barbara Fredrickson describes love as a momentary emotion that swells up and expands your awareness of your surroundings, your sense of self, and your ability to truly see another person. We experience a positivity resonance comprising three events: shared positive emotions, biobehavioral synchrony, and mutual care. With the other person, writes Fredrickson, a psychology professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Research has found that these moments of connection increase our well-being dramatically. Studies on people directed to have meaningful interactions with a barista while buying coffee, greet and thank strangers, and chat with strangers found that these interactions increase their happiness and positivity. These small moments really do make a difference on our well-being, Fair says. The science is very clear on that. The momentary experience of love is a surge where we feel a deep sense of commitment and care and adoration for another person, says Sarah Algo, a psychology professor at UNC Chapel Hill and director of the Love Consortium. Combined with that is enacted love, behavior that is motivated by the experience of love, and the other people who are receiving it experience it as a loving act. Algo and her colleagues can observe and measure both pieces of love under this definition. For example, they videotaped someone sharing good news with a stranger and rated how positive and excited the listener seemed. The experiment successfully predicted that those who gave more positive and enthusiastic responses reported a higher amount of love in their life 2 months later. They were also rated as more loving by strangers who viewed them in videotape interactions. Jacqueline S. Mattis, a psychologist and dean of Rutgers University Newark's School of Arts and Sciences, embraces a two-part definition of love: a cognitive and emotional experience of affection for another person or for something that leads one to then engage in acts of care and acts of inconvenient virtue, meaning acts that require commitment, compassion, sacrifice, and grace. Her research focuses on altruism and what leads people to make sacrifices for individuals they're not related to. As a manifestation of love, altruism allows us to become that much more human. It deepens our capacity to understand and live into the values that define us as human, she said. Viewing love as a commitment or fixed trait rather than a momentary experience makes love a profoundly demanding moral discipline, says Sai Held, a rabbi and author of Judaism is About Love and president of the Hadar Institute. Love is an existential posture. It's a way of holding myself in relationship to other people and the world. To genuinely love another person, you see them for who they are and make space for them to be themselves. In the end, all the research and disagreement over the definitions of love provides more evidence of the fundamental challenge in pinning down an experience that is ultimately ineffable, that passes between two people or a group of people. The starting point is this mystery. We have questions and we want dialogue so that we can better understand the mystery, says Matthew T. Lee, a Baylor University sociology professor and director of the Human Flourishing Programs Flourishing Network at the Institute for Quantitative Social Science at Harvard University. Once you start analyzing it and labeling it, you move back into the world of things. Bottom line for Lee, have a little humility and don't forget the poets and the great novels and all the works of art. About the author, Catherine Reynolds Lewis is the special projects editor at the Greater Good Science Center. She is an award-winning science journalist with bylines in The Atlantic, Fortune, New York Times, Undark, and The Washington Post. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you Greater Good Magazine. And Greater Good has a number of quizzes, all centered around love. If you want to look at greatergood.berkeley.edu. And those quizzes are entitled Spreading Love Through the Media, Relationship Trust Quiz, compassionate love quiz, connection to humanity quiz, and that's the list. And again, that website is greatergood.berkeley.edu. And next is a short article from Greater Good on how do I cultivate love. Research has started to identify some important factors and techniques that can help people feel loved and behave in a more loving way. Nurturing love in kids. Nurture secure connections. When a child's relationship with a parent or caregiver is characterized by trust, emotional safety, and consistent care, they are more likely to develop a secure attachment style, a strong foundation for love in the rest of their lives. Dedicated attention. Research shows that caregivers working in settings with smaller adult-to-children ratios can engage in more nurturing, responsive, and emotionally supportive interactions. Allo parenting. Caring and advocating for children beyond one's own, known as allo parenting, not only provides valuable support to parents, but also nurtures kids' resilience and talents. Strengthening romantic relationships. Help each other feel heard. Active listening means truly hearing and understanding your partner's needs and emotions. Share exciting experiences. Couples who share thrilling experiences feel closer and more satisfied, as these moments foster self-expansion, broadening each person's sense of identity and connection by incorporating new aspects of their partner's world. Practice gratitude. When people experience gratitude for kind things their romantic partner does for them, they feel more joy and connection in their relationship, creating a positive cycle that brings partners closer together. Bridging divides between groups. Recall acts of compassionate love. Studies show that recalling such moments of compassionate love can shift perspectives, fostering greater warmth and acceptance, even toward those outside our familiar circles. Share personal stories. Research shows that sharing personal, emotionally authentic details with someone from a different background builds warmth and compassion, creating positive feelings that extend across racial and cultural lines. Boosting love in the world. Cultivate self-love. This tiny but powerful micro-practice invites you to place your hands over your heart or belly while offering yourself loving thoughts such as, how can I be a friend to myself in this moment? Practice meditation. Practices like loving kindness meditation boost generosity and goodwill. Compassion meditation dissolves us versus them barriers, and appreciative joy helps us to celebrate others' successes, growing love and connection beyond familiar circles. Foster love through media. Music and stories with messages of kindness are more important, are more than entertainment. They are catalysts for love and connection. Use a photo. Research has found that adding a simple photo of a person to a story of need, like the picture of a child in need of medical care, increases generosity far beyond what other identifying details can achieve. Find common ground. Even small commonalities, like a favorite team, shared perspective, common goal, or moving in sync, can unlock our natural compassion and generosity toward others. You have been listening to Greater Good Magazine. The Greater Good Science Center, based at University of California, Berkeley, provides a bridge between the research community and the general public. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful and loving rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.